Welcome to the 2021 AFL Premiership season on AFL Nation.
Pulls it into the pocket. Cameron wants it. Cameron gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball toward the goal. Oh, that's a moment of inspiration from the skipper.
Charlie comes up brandishing. He doubles back from left to right and kicks one of the goals of the season.
50 from goal. Kept it alive. 48 from goal. Goes with the banana. It'll be the miracle. Oh, kick off the boat! You're kidding me! You've just done the impossible!
Martin tracks him. Martin's got it. He scored. He shoots. It's the stuff of legend!
Welcome to AFL Nation.
A volatile week and a fresh wave of uncertainty tonight greets round six of the AFL season with a COVID lockdown pending in Perth. Our starting off point is in the nation's capital, where it's a chilly night, but it is a red-hot contest in prospects. Two teams with a bit of history. The Dogs, well, they're going as well as anyone, and well, they're going better than everyone, really. And a rejuvenated Giants for the past couple of weeks. So the main fare is good. The side story, we're anticipating a cage match, which is why, you, as we unveil our team, you'll fully understand we have gone to our man for that. Jared Whateley with you on AFL Nation with Anthony Hudson. Hello, Hutto.
Hello, Jared. We've gone to our men for that, really, when you think about it. That's obviously excluding us two. let's be upfront about that.
Well, do you think he's a charming gentleman, do you?
Shut up. We haven't been introduced yet.
Right, sorry about that.
But, yes, welcome, everyone. Great to be back with you, G, on a Friday night. And it is exciting to see the approach both these two sides have. And as you said, I've seen the Giants the last couple of weeks and much improved. And I watched these two sides go around in the VFL last night as we broadcast the game on Fox. And the Bulldogs, their depth at the moment is quite extraordinary. It's an exciting time to be a Doggies fan. But I guess we still have to just temper that a little bit, like Melbourne, as we just sort of see who they've played and let the season develop a bit. So tonight will be very interesting.
So a man who lived his career with a ferocious edge, he's got four Hawthorn premierships to show for it. He doesn't hold sway tonight, Jordan Lewis. Welcome.
G'day, boys. G'day, Derm. Well, we haven't introduced
Derm. I'm not introduced
just saying hello to you across the desk.
Only but, four.
Very
only
fearful four. Of the big only man four. To my right.
I had to go back and watch the games, especially the 16 prelim, where we feel like that was where the rivalry was started, and just to see what it was all about, how much animosity was in that game and why it started, because a lot of these players get interviewed. They don't know why the rivalry is there, but it's there. So it's... I think it was born out of that game, maybe because, you know, Callan Ward had switched sides, Ryan Griffin had switched sides. So every time they got the ball, there was boos that rang out through the stadium. And then it sort of flows on to these two teams playing in such great games. And physicality is probably the thing that comes to mind when you see the Bulldogs come up against GWS. So it's an intriguing game. As you said, Jared, Western Bulldogs are going better than anyone else in the competition. Their game is so well-rounded from an offensive point of view and a defensive point of view. So how do GWS combat that? They've got their tails up, two wins in the last two games. So they'll come into this game with full confidence.
So if there are going to be steel chairs and brass knuckles and cages and the like, we thought we'd better go to our five-time Hawthorn Premiership
Jerry
player.
Jerry Healy, too soft, clearly.
Dermot Burton, good evening to you, Dermot.
Clearly, Jerry's just gone surfing, has he? He's had the night. Good evening, all of you gentlemen. You called it, Louis, fantastically well-rounded team. Only two teams have kicked 500 points, meaning they've got 100 a game, and of course the Doggies are one of those two teams. I look back at that, and yes, all those are contributing factors to this rivalry taking place. There's one little aspect which we don't speak about here, because the Giants don't really have a voice in the media as much as all the, what are we down to, 10 AFL teams in Victoria. They don't really have the same voice. And it doesn't like to be said, but they believe that the wonderful player, whether it did happen or didn't, they believe the Bont hunted someone and got Hainsey unfairly and caved in his cheekbone. Now, Bulldog supporters will say, not our unfair, our scrupulously fair Bont, and I think he's a very fair player. By accident, by whatever means, he had Hainsey really hurt and the Giants hunted him. And that manifested itself in, you know, Toby coming down and grabbing at his face while he was on the ground and in the pack, and there was hell to pay emotionally thereafter, and that contributed to this. It's a cage match. I've heard, and you're good, one of your contributors, our great mate David King, he said that they should hunt Toby. Doggies,
good luck.
Don't even think about it. If you want Toby to play a really good game when he's a chance to play just an average one or maybe be a bit down, get into him. That'll get him going.
Because I'm not sure they need to, do they, the Bulldogs?
They don't.
With what they've got.
Don't.
But anyway, I don't think
so. In fact,
so.
I would play a comedian on him. Just go out there, be nice.
Russell Gilbert, it's in a half back.
Yes, Gilbo. Just get out there and don't upset him. He's one of these, this breed of player that loves being on edge. And he will go right to the edge. And he might get his number taken, but it will be maybe a fraction over the edge, maybe a fraction under. It'll gather all the support from the opposition to hate him and hate on someone. But it'll put him in a good frame of mind for footy.
It did bring a tear to my eye when I saw the outs for GWS and one Shane Mumford was managed. I thought, oh, couldn't he just survive one more week against the Bulldogs?
I think Shane would be pleased he's not. I think he's copped him a couple of times.
Yeah, that's true. It's it's fantastic. Telling all over. We got to see the depth of both sides last night. You obviously did the game. So, a few players go out for the Bulldogs, but they bring in more class. So they're at the top of their game at the moment.
It is rather remarkable that a team at 5-0 would make five changes for their Friday night game.
But that's very Luke Beveridge.
It is so Luke Beveridge.
It seems like it's they're not the star players. Clearly the star players are playing well. So it's the guys who are on the periphery and they're changing those spots over to maybe send a message to the side that everyone's not comfortable. If you come into the side, you've still got to perform, because we're still making changes. So even if you go back to the VFL, still perform, because there's going to be opportunities. So I quite like that. I like you've still got rotation of players. So if players are playing well in the VFL, they still get rewarded, even though the side is playing so well.
And I'm not saying this is a factor, but other clubs are really looking closely at the Bulldogs list right now. So if players get stuck in the VFL and don't get on up, someone like a Riley West, Patrick Lipinski, even Rourke Smith, like those guys.
Even Lin Jong's coming in tonight. First game for quite some time.
No doubt other teams will be into some of those at the end of the year. So
that's the perfect scenario for the Dogs. In a way, you'd fatten up the right ones, because they need, there's still pillars they need at ends that they don't have. And if they do have A-grade, B-plus assets that are superfluous by the end of the year, it's the most ideal scenario for
fatten them up in July, August. Yeah. Don't do it now.
But it is a bit early for that.
They're all having a look, because they're all good enough to play.
But they are
long-suited in a couple of areas.
Karmas last night, Booker Karmas, his name is. He's not, I don't have to check with the height of him, but he looks like a good, really good defender, young defender that's come through as a rookie.
190.
Yeah, so he's not going to be absolute, he's not going to take over as the key defender, but he's a good player. So they do have some defenders coming through there, but yeah, they are a bit short in that area, no doubt.
It'll keep them keen, that's for sure, with the pointy end of the ladder being occupied by them. Tonight's story really does all brew out of Perth, though, for the time being. So they're heading for a three-day lockdown.
It just felt a bit like last year tonight, coming in, hearing that and all the ramifications, fingers crossed.
So Brisbane had it a couple of weeks ago. Perth is about to have it. So a three-day lockdown.
Hang on. And some people might be like me. My last half hour of driving in here, I've been taking call after call. What's happened in Perth?
Do you do your own talkback show, do you, Derm? Let's take another call on the Derm hotline. Yeah.
Now, on a Friday afternoon.
Can you wait there, Patrick, from Reservoir?
Yeah, well.
So there's an active case in the Perth community from April 17 to 21 that leaked out of hotel quarantine. This person didn't know that they had COVID. Obviously, they've actually returned to Victoria, where they've tested positive and gone into quarantine here. So the Premier has announced a three-day lockdown from tonight. This is what's been extremely successful in Brisbane, in Sydney, and now Perth will have a look at it. Melbourne also had its turn this year. So it means the Fremantle-North Melbourne game, which is the feature Len Hall tribute match as part of Anzac Round, will be played in front of an empty stand. North Melbourne arrived in Perth an hour before the announcement was made of lockdown. The Eagles are in Victoria, playing at Geelong tomorrow, so there's a bit to go through there. So basically, we wrote down the checklist. We're actually getting quite good at this. Sort of feel like you could sit in some of the meetings and go, these are the things that have to be sorted out.
I reckon Jerry would love to sit in some of those meetings.
So it's not that tough to be in governance of this whole thing, is it?
It's just a rote. So the Eagles would have to get COVID tested tonight and all come back positive to play the game in Geelong tomorrow.
Negative.
As in positive, as in
negative. Sorry.
Negative. Yes.
So that's an important
discrepancy.
Hang on,
maybe he's not qualified to be in this meeting, Jeff.
They would have to come back negative to
play. If you want to win in a fortnight, yeah, they're all positive. Yeah.
To play tomorrow's game, and that was the case study we saw with the Brisbane Lions women's team a couple of weeks ago. The Eagles will have the Victorian government exemption to be here, which they will get because we know the Lions got that a couple of weeks ago. The question that the AFL is going to push back for 24 hours is whether the Eagles go home or stay in Victoria like the Lions did till the lockdown resolves itself or otherwise, and whether North Melbourne will be able to come back to Victoria with a government exemption having been in Perth. Their advantage is they could stay in a really tight quarantine now, yeah. Having just arrived and the lockdown's from midnight. Is if they stay in a quarantine while they're in Perth and have no contact and get out on the first available flight, they would notionally still be a clean team.
Yep.
They'd need clearance to come back to Victoria, but then their next game is in Hobart. So they're going to need a Tasmanian government exemption as well to be able to go from Perth to Melbourne to Hobart to be able to play. Collingwood was the team most recently in Perth, but that was April 16, and this phase starts from April 17, so they should be okay. So what we know is that Freo play North in an empty stadium, which is a tremendous pity for the Dockers, who put a lot of effort into this game historically. And then the AFL will hold on whether North come back and whether the Eagles go home. The Eagles' next game is the Derby. So the Derby could go ahead even if the lockdown was extended, but you'd hate a Derby to be played unnecessarily in front of empty stands.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a few variations in all of that
as
well.
Putting into perspective of the Dockers put a lot into this weekend. I do know because of the SAS training that goes on in West Australia, I know of quite a few retired and returned servicemen who are SAS soldiers who actually are involved in the
Len Hall.
Getting this fixture up and running, and it is a very significant day on their calendar.
Yeah, so that's a terrible pity for everyone involved there. The quirk is that the sporting fixtures tonight in Perth have full crowds with face masks because the lockdown doesn't start till midnight, but the Dockers game can't have anybody there once the lockdown starts.
Yep. Mm.
So if you really want it to make sense, sometimes it's a bit of a leap, but that's the convention that they're going with.
So we got another beauty of a gold level quarantine.
Yeah, so I mean, this is clearly what the reality of the year is going to be, and state governments have decided that 3 days is the flinch reaction.
Yep.
Once you see it, and so
unfortunately, I feel like it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, yeah. And then we hope that wherever it lands, it resolves itself in 3 days.
I was talking to a couple of clubs today about other matters, but to do with finances, and they were just saying we're all still. We can't plan anything. We're trying to do budgets. We just, the budgets are done to the end of October. But trying to look ahead is just pointless at the moment because they just, this was just as this case was coming out today in Victoria. So they just don't know.
So we've got Tim Gossage away from his panic buying just for the moment. He's got 8 hours
toilet rolls
to go.
Last count.
AFL Nation broadcaster Goss, great to have you on the program.
I didn't go to the supermarket, but the local petrol station had them on special, and I got 30 for $10.
How did you have to fight off to get the 30?
No, I was smart. I got there. I don't think people know you can buy toilet roll at the petrol station.
30 in 3 days.
Can you put a photo of that up on our Twitter page, please, Tim?
I will certainly do that for you, Anthony.
We worked through it on a couple of layers, Goss. Just the community reaction first up to a 3-day lockdown. Is you're not really versed on these things in Perth anymore, eh?
The 9% that didn't vote for Mark McGowan have the opportunity to get the muck off their pluck right now, and that's what they're doing. So they're attacking him. It is the hotel quarantine lockdown issue that's causing the ruckus with everyone saying they've got to get this right because that's where this has gone from a hotel with bad air conditioning on the same floor, blue bar blue. How long did it take for the contact tracers to get the airline number from the young man who went back to Melbourne and tested positive and had the test at 2 o'clock, got the result at 2 o'clock, and they haven't been able to get in touch with everyone who was on that plane. There's all that type of concern. But in general terms, I think we're par for the course. There has been a bit of panic buying and the like, and the Anzac ceremonies where people were keen to do that on Sunday morning, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. The interesting thing is here, is that the Perth Wildcats are playing tonight. Game on. You can go to the game with masks. You can go to the Western Force. Game on with masks. But you can't go tomorrow night to Optus Stadium for the Len Hall Anzac Day game between Fremantle and North Melbourne. That's where a lot of people are a bit miffed. But you can still have a wedding. So it's a bit strange.
For the Dockers, how big a pity is it for an empty stand for the Len Hall tribute match?
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is there. This is the most significant event apart from a derby in town. There's no doubt about that. They put so much into it. They've owned it from day dot. The work they've gone into it, they would have been expecting, albeit North Melbourne coming to town, but, you know, the weekend that it is, they would have expected 40 to 45,000. A wonderful experience. You speak to the players. It's the one game they love playing in. It's the emotional game. It is with a real heavy heart that the game now will not have a crowd, and it's very, very sad.
What's the scenario for West Coast, who are in Victoria and bound to play Geelong tomorrow?
Yeah, interesting enough, I've tried to get hold of the West Coast Eagles in regards to whether they're being tested, have been tested, or when the plan is. They're still waiting for further comment on that. There's no doubt they're going to be tested. That's just along the protocols that the Premier sort of announced a couple of hours ago. That's going to happen, but whether that happens or already has happened, going to happen or happen tomorrow morning, I'm not exactly sure. But then they've got to get back into WA, which won't be an issue. I did hear one thing that a couple of the AFL umpires who are Perth-based, one got out to do a game. The other was told he can't go. So he's staying put in Perth, and there was quick movement there on behalf of the AFL in regards to their own people under the AFL umpiring. So, look, a lot to play out. Everyone's just hunkering down for the next 3 days and see what unfolds. The great thing is we have got footy, and there will be crowds on the East Coast. And for us in WA, unfortunately, that one game tomorrow, which I'm down to call, it's going to be very stark again, and we've already encountered it once with the no crowds in WA, so we're going to go through it again tomorrow night.
Hey, Goss, just on that level then, it's such a lonely place to go as a visiting team to play in Perth. Again, in my days, it was predominantly the Eagles, and you felt like you had 25 supporters. I mean, only 25, two dozen and plus one, against, 40,000. Because of what you've experienced last year, no crowd at the venue. Does it help a young team on the road not having anyone, or does it play even further into favour of the home club?
Dermy, huge for North Melbourne. And look, they're outsiders. We know that. Fremantle probably should still get the job done, but it certainly takes a lot of elements out. Takes the emotion out. I'm sure they'll do something on the big screen for the Anzac. They're not just going to throw the whole event aside, but no crowd. A bit more of the emotion sucked out of it with probably not the full pre-game, the Anzac pre-games going ahead. It's good for North Melbourne, and they're going to hear everyone. You know, they hear themselves. I know how, speaking to the Eagles players, how difficult it was and how weird it was to hear, in that massive stadium that it is, you could hear blokes calling out from the bench. You could hear the coach's box. You could actually hear... I was talking to two players who said they could actually hear me commentating from the window open.
We can hear you from Melbourne, mate. Without the radio on.
Oh, I was potting blokes left, right and centre.
Very good.
Yeah, big for North Melbourne. Big for North Melbourne. Bad for footy. Bad for Fremantle. Good for North Melbourne.
All right. So it'll continue to develop, Goss. Well, good luck in lockdown.
Dog food, milk, toilet paper, all done.
Well done, well done. Tim Gossage with us on the Southern Phone open line. Get connected with Southern Phone, amazing new mobile SIM deals from Southern Phone. You're with us on the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's only. Beaumont Tiles have complete bathroom packages and for hard yakka. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson, Dermot Burton and Jordan Lewis. So this will move every hour, really, through until... after the Eagles play and after North Melbourne play, and then we'll wait on the AFL as to what they think the best decisions are.
The players would have absolutely known the meaning behind this game, mainly Fremantle, because they'd heavily invested in it, and they look across at Anzac Eve and Anzac Day and see what the players go through, see how well the AFL do it in terms of involving, you know, the ex-soldiers and what it means to them. So they would have been in an envious position watching what happens over here and what happens on Anzac Day and Anzac Eve, and really looking forward to having their own ceremony over there before the game and playing out in front of retired soldiers, current soldiers. So it's a massive letdown to not be a part of it again. So I think the stuff, you know, pre-game is an important stuff for players to experience on such a big occasion.
The Melbourne-Richmond, the pre-match of Melbourne-Richmond.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. When I was
the night part of it, like it's as an experience at the ground compared to, it's almost overtaken the...
Yeah, I get goosebumps when you talk about it, because the first, clearly at Hawthorn we didn't play in that match. And then when I came to Melbourne, I wasn't playing in the first week, and I sat in the coach's box, and when all the lights go out and the players are standing over there near the flame, it is such a great occasion. And then to be able to play in that match, it's unbelievable as a player. You don't get too many times throughout the year to experience a scene or a level of respect like that, and it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, so
I must say, Hutto, that it's one of the most stirring, moving visual things I've seen at a football game in this regard of the celebratory performances. When those horses in silence walk around the boundary, it is magnificent. Mm. It is just a brilliant way to... I'm trying to say something other than celebrate, but just to recognize,
to commemorate,
recognize the occasion. It's very, very tastefully done as well.
It has a haunting quality to it.
It does. And Melbourne have that history with Bluey Truscott and Ron Barassi. All clubs do, really, but particularly with Melbourne.
And in the match itself, there's so much that's built into it, isn't there? Nathan Jones, 300th, Dustin Martin's 250th, Melbourne unbeaten, Richmond flexing. Like, it couldn't be better poised.
Yeah. I was down at Melbourne today, and the feeling amongst the playing group was we can't wait to get there and participate in the match. They had an ex-soldier speak to them, I think it might have been yesterday or the day before, about what it means to him being a Melbourne supporter and then also being involved in the game from a military point of view. And, you know, those words, they're transferable, I suppose, to what we go through, you know, in a game of football in terms of mateship and trust and everything else that he spoke about. So, yeah, both sides, I just watched, I think it was yesterday, Dusty's highlight tape on the Richmond a website. It could have gone for 3 hours, but they had to obviously cut it down a fair bit. But
it felt like they released it just as sometimes those things are really strictly internal and they just put it out to the whole world just in case you're wondering. Yeah. We got this guy.
Yeah, exactly. So Richmond would be sitting back there going, there's been a lot of talk about Melbourne and we're quite happy with that. So we'll come tomorrow night ready to go.
So no Ben Brown, no Wiedemann.
No.
May and Fritch in. Petty, Sparrow and Mitch Brown are the three outs at the moment. And Jack Ross, the only out for Richmond.
So do you like that? Is what's been working has got them to this point for assessment, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think, Weeds clearly played well last week in the VFL. So he'll be an emergency, I think. So he's the forward line structured up really well at the moment in terms of their ability to keep it in, the forward half pressure. And Fritch coming back in, we may not have thought he was going to come back in, but he's right to go. So it's probably too hard to bring in two forwards when the forward line is working so well at the moment.
Didn't think it was though, Jordan. I thought the connection between the middle, the amount of times they had the ball free running forward, if you take the line that goes straight across the middle of the ground from, say, 10 metres back from the true centre, the amount of time they had the ball between there and 70 metres out running free running forward and they could not score out of it, I thought was very poor connection. Only after three-quarter time.
So that's a connection piece, not necessarily a...
But that's the forward. The forward really has to draw that.
It's leading patterns and then being able to recognise where the...
See, Fritz fixes that up a bit.
Yep.
That's why I thought he has to come in. Yep. If he's fit to come in, he has to come in. And then on the back of that, I think if they are poised for a premiership, I think they've got to have...
Wiedemann in.
Wiedemann or Brown in to draw the footy in better circumstances.
Dermot Brereton and Jordan Lewis, our experts tonight for Car Sales. Unique insights and exclusive perks with Car Sales for owners. We'll talk Carlton. We'll talk Collingwood. More on the teams that have landed. The absence of Patrick Dangerfield, what that might mean for
Big
Geelong.
Big out for the Eagles too.
Is it Kennedy?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so that's
just going to tease that so that people would stay
well
listening.
Teased. He's fairly for about
he's
half
fairly
a second.
New to this.
Chris Grant is going to join us in a few moments' time on our pre-game show for AFL Nation. This is for Beaumont Tires. Choose Beaumonts, and for Hard Yakka, for a new breed of legend.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Bathroom packages, choose Beaumonts, and Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.
Friday night footy. It's in Canberra. It's expected to be a low of 1 degree. 1 degree.
We've had some cool nights in Canberra. Okay, so fast.
And it'll be the Giants hosting the Bulldogs. The Giants have won their past two after falling to 0-3 and really been removed from any sort of contention. They fought their way back quite meritoriously over a couple of weeks, and now they run into the Bulldogs, who are 5-0, and it's been impossible to miss what Luke Beveridge has rolled out at the start of the year. Jared Whately, Anthony Hudson, Jordan Lewis, Dermot Brereton.
They were never as bad as some people on some of our football digest talk shows wanted the public to believe. As I said, they don't have a great voice in Melbourne, and there is always a feeling of they've been given too much at the expense of some of us, and any chance we can get to talk them down, we will. Their time's over. They have to go back now. They have to restart again. That was poppycock. If you look at the quality within that team right now. So we'll take probably their 15th chosen player, Xavier O'Halloran. Imagine how many teams would want him. If you said, I'm up for grabs at the end of the year, I want to come home, there'd be 10 out of 10 Victorian teams would go, we want him. He is our future. Yet he's about 15th chosen. Now, he is the future because he's young. So he's one out of the... And you've got the Hopper and the midfield and Canelio. Callum Ward's back to his absolute swashbuckling best. They're never as bad as some people wanted them to be.
But they were pretty bad last year and at the start of this year.
Everyone
had some injuries. Clearly.
Everyone had some real bad moments which tied into some real bad years. Were the West Coast Eagles, are they as bad as they were last year?
So we'll keep this conversation going because this is really the flavour of the night from the Giants' perspective. On the Bulldog side of things, the head of football, Chris Grant, is with us. So, Granty, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for having me.
How's Canberra?
Canberra's absolutely beautiful and absolutely freezing. <all the time. laughs>
Are you doing a Clarko, Granty? Take the top off and go for a jog.
Oh, no one wants to see that. That's a crowd killer, that one. But with... just got the bus and arrived at Manuka in the last half an hour, 40 minutes, and the temperature dropped between the sun shining just a little bit as we left the hotel compared to arriving here in darkness. It's dropped at least 9 or 10 degrees. It's freezing.
What's your sense of anticipation for this? Ours is pretty rich. Every spectator's has been at the coalface, and given the recent history which you've lived, what's your anticipation for it?
Oh, look, it's certainly a rivalry that's building, isn't it? If it isn't at a fairly sort of high level anyway, with what's transpired between the two clubs and teams on field, probably over the best part of 5 or 6 years now. So, I was just listening to you talk very quickly around Callum Ward, and in some ways, we could, as Bulldog supporters and Bulldog members, would remember fondly Callum being a terrific young player coming through for us, and the Giants snaffled him, and he's been a terrific player and captain for their club. So I guess in some ways the rivalry started right back then.
Granty, Dermot here. Good luck tonight. Hey, we looked at the Doggies 2016. What a wonderful season it was. They fell away a bit, but I've had this feeling all the way through, and Hutto will back me up on this, I've just felt they're going to come again at some stage. There were too many young players who were major contributors in that premiership. And sometimes you do need a helping hand as you come back to you know, step into the sweet spot of your career. Did you have the knowledge, not that you take it for granted, did you have the knowledge that get a couple of things right, we're back in the mix? Because I totally believe that you're the real deal.
Yeah. Probably in some ways, Dermot, we've always felt over the last, 4 years now, 4 seasons, that there's a bright future there that's a little bit more sustainable. Mind you, we weren't planning at all for 2017, 18 or 19 to be the seasons that they were. We still had high hopes for those seasons too. We unfortunately probably just lost through attrition more than anything else. The game, unfortunately, wasn't very kind to players like Clay Smith and Liam Picken and even Dale Morris towards the end of his career. Just weren't kind to them as far as being able to play a long sort of 5 or so years of additional football. And it probably left us a little bit exposed, mainly because we know those players were so combative and really sort of soaked up a lot of that pressure for our younger boys coming through. We probably were a little bit exposed there. But it wasn't by design. Unfortunately, yeah. It was purely and simply just attrition. And we've had to bring additional players through and sort of wait for them to mature. Clearly, with the acquisitions of Stefan and Adam in the off-season, that's really helped us and really helped us go to another level. But we've also been really confident that the players coming through are going to take us, hopefully, to a fairly consistent period.
I want you to be, well, we always want absolute and complete and utter honesty out of you. Adam Treloar, in footballing terminology, you got a windfall with Adam Treloar. But if you can be as accurate as you can, could you see and did you envisage that he would play on the outside for the Dogs, whereas Collingwood played him on the inside? And in reality, he wasn't giving Collingwood what they had hoped for on the inside, and they never really looked at his play to be a player on the outside, i.e. the wing. Could you see that?
Interesting question, Dermot. I think right from the outset, I guess initially, it was very much he's going to complement this team if we can get hold of him and get him across the line over the next, what was going to be about a 10-day period. And there wasn't any certainty. We felt that that would be the case. But the reality is, Dermot, and you know this well, when you've got a really deep midfield like we have at the moment, which is really helpful, they're fit, we've got pressure underneath, and they're fit as well. The players have to be able to play both, and that's both inside and outside. And that's really one of the things that Bebo's been able to do with this group is that whilst we see Adam now probably a little bit more on the outside than he was with the Pies, he does play equally, half that time as an inside. That he's been able to do very well over the course of his career. So he really is able to complement not only our own group, but I think he's able to complement his own game because of the strength and the depth of the players around him. So, all of our midfielders play in and out, and that's been a real bonus for us at the moment. Adam's certainly been one of those.
With no Chris Grant, Jordan Lewis here, with no Thursday night football, thanks to the AFL, we got to see some of your youngsters coming through, but also some of the old timers. And one that I want to ask you about is Mitch Wallace, vice captain of your footy club and going back and playing reserves, and also seeing the side do really well without him. How's he handled this period?
Incredibly well, Jordan. It's a testament to him, and it's not surprising. Knowing Mitch, I've known Mitch ever since he was a baby, actually. But knowing he and his family hasn't fallen far from the tree as far as his mother and father. They're just incredibly resilient and positive people, and Mitch is the same. It's been a difficult five weeks now for Mitch, but the way he's dealt with that has been incredibly mature, and he's remained amazingly positive. Being vice captain of the team, there's that additional layer that's extra difficult for him to deal with as a vice captain. You want to be in the senior team, and you'd hope to be a regular senior player, and that not being the case for him at the moment. That would be additionally hard for him. I think last night, what we were really pleased with, he really started to feel like he had that energy around the ball again. Started slow first quarter, but he had a terrific sort of second, third, and fourth quarter. So sort of feels like he's been able to get his head around that and now start to push for another senior game, which I'm sure is not too far away.
And on the other end of the spectrum, Dramara looked very likely last night. How have you seen his development, and should we expect him to break through to the ones in the next couple of games, or are you happy just with the development and the progress that he's making in the twos?
Oh, we're really happy with the progress he's making. What we're seeing with Jamar at the moment, and you would have seen last night again, is he's got certain attributes that just light up the game. And he was able to have those moments last night, coming away with, seven or eight shots a goal and five goals is tremendous. And then there's the other part of the game that he's just requiring a lot of development, a lot of time that he's going to have to spend on it to become a consistent and a selectable AFL player. So it's really interesting position for him because the talent is just enormous and then the work-ons are just as big. But he's a fine young fella and how he played last night, he's certainly starting to, put himself into calculation in the coaches and Bevo's mind about he's probably not too far away from a senior game. But the difficulty is, Jordan, when the team's going well and you've been there, it's difficult to get a game, and you've really got to almost at times be playing well, time that well, and be ready when something happens up above. And, with Brucey and Tim and Aaron Norton doing well in the forward line at the moment, he's just going to have to bide his time.
How's his emotional maturity since he first landed at the club? He's grown up a bit, I'm led to believe.
Oh, he has a lot. Yeah, he has a lot. You think about those kids who were coming through last year and hadn't had any really exposure to football in their top age year. They went from being bottom age, NAB League players or under 18 Colts players at Waffle level, for example. But in Victoria, those kids didn't get any footing. They've gone from the bottom age NAB League all of a sudden to be an AFL player. So it's a big jump. It's a big stepping stone for them to take without any footy in between. And that's the adjustment that he needed to make when he first arrived. But he's a lovely young fella, as I was saying. He's hell-bound on being the best player in Percy he can be. So that's really exciting for us for the future.
Now, Granny, one last one from me. There's a lot of discussion around Marcus Bontempelli and his 150th game last week and where he sits in the pantheon of great Bulldogs and therefore, where you sit, the young fella's got to play a few more games, doesn't he, before he goes past the likes of yourself and Jono?
Well, it's about quality, not quantity, they say. So, he's just in a marvel. What he's been able to fit into 149 games at the moment, 150 games last week, it's just enormous, really. It's just quite incredible. To be such a young man, to burst onto the scene the way that he did. I was only actually watching whilst you're up in the hotel. The 2016 Cleveland was on. The last quarter came on, and I sat and watched that. And, he being one, just such a young kid, really. To think what he's been able to do since that period of time in the game is enormous. And, the next 150 is going to be pretty exciting. So he's up there already. That's the reality of it.
Granny, great to have you in the pre-match. Good luck for what's to come.
Thanks, guys. Have a good call.
Chris Grant, the Western Bulldogs head of football. The all-new 8-seat Hyundai Palisade is the SUV for rapidly growing families. It's got advanced tech and loads of space, so there'll be no outgrowing this SUV. Go on, take a test drive at your local Hyundai dealer today. They are making Newgelhagen wait.
Oh, yes, yes.
Properly wait.
He's had to have a few edges knocked off, and he's got some good citizens around him. I have it very reliably informed to me. There was one, and I thought it was fantastic and hilarious at the same time. He got to a queue of a nightclub, and he walked straight to the front, and the bloke said, "This queue starts down there," and he said, "I went number one, mate. I don't queue." And he said,
"Take
I don't
it back
care.
To your youth, did it do?"
I don't care. And we didn't have drafts, otherwise I would have used it. And he got sent to the back of the queue. That was humbling.
But it is a funny way that they've gone about it, because there's probably two trains of thought. Because I think back to when Buddy and Ruffy started, and they were a little bit like Newgelhagen in terms of they needed some stuff knocked out of them before they started to play. But Clarko had the plan of playing them early and just get games into them early, let them learn out on the field, let them learn and play with people they'll play with for the next 10 to 15 years.
But even, Louis, just little things like number assignment. He didn't throw them, he didn't get them into the club and go, here's number 23 straight up.
No.
Here's number 2 straight up. He gave them 38.
Yeah, 38 and 35.
And the list, was it a different period to what?
Well, you'd think that they could leapfrog into better numbers if the list was there.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that's what you look at the Western Bulldogs side. Now, the thing that probably keeps him out is they've got three genuine key forwards that are playing right now. But why not slip him into the, you know, to the fourth key position where we see what they've done with, West Coast have done with Oscar Allen. Just his ability to play but not get the main defender week in, week out, develop on the side. Then once the time comes for those guys to retire, then he's ready to play. He's had 50, 60, maybe 70 games under his belt.
I think we'll see him soon. I think the point Grandy made is true across about the kids that didn't play last year. Not too many of them have actually come straight in and done much
yet. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. They clearly know Jamara better than anyone. So this is the way that they've decided to go. But it can work both ways.
All right, so Hutto's going to flesh out those teams shortly because there's a shock at Sydney as well.
There is.
Which is an interesting
one.
I've learnt.
Franklin?
We're hearing out of Perth at the Waffle
Barry
and Waffle
Round
W.
Barry Round is coming back into the team.
Quite you too.
Waffle and Waffle W games have been cancelled this weekend, so we know that Fremantle and North Melbourne goes ahead in front of an empty stadium.
Why would you do that? They don't play in front of anyone anyway.
Abide by the lockdown, I suppose. As we head to the break, let's
crowds
head to the
for the Shield
room
cricket have been banned as well, Dan.
For a sports news update.
Sport all rolled up for roll. Fast, fresh Vietnamese with crunch, bite and flavour. Order via the app or visit a store today.
Some big names have missed out on Cricket Australia contracts for next season. Travis Head, Matthew Wade and Will Pukowski among those without a deal for 2021-22, which includes a T20 World Cup in India and home Ashes series. The Australian Institute of Sport says there's been a big spike in the number of elite athletes seeking mental health support in the lead up to the Tokyo Olympic Games. Factors such as uncertainty around the Games, the year-long delay and concerns around COVID-19 are believed to be behind the increase. Meantime, Australia's divers have pulled out of next month's World Cup in Tokyo, saying the city isn't safe amid a new wave of coronavirus infections. The World Cup is an Olympic qualification event and is being held in the first week of May. That sport, all rolled up for old, family-made Vietnamese, served fast and fresh.
You're listening to AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, bathroom packages, choose Beaumont's. And Hard Yakka, for a new breed of legends.
Six begins tonight. It's the Giants and the Bulldogs to meet in the nation's capital. The Giants are 2-3. The Bulldogs are 5-0. Our selection has come for Saturday. We're drip-fed it these days, more's the pity. And there's many a story, Hutto, in what's lobbed at selection.
Yes, there is. And the big surprise at Sydney, Jared, for their match against the Gold Coast Suns is that Isaac Heaney is back in the team.
Do you know, Justin Lippich on Tuesday said that his left field was that either Heaney or Rampy would play, that one of them would overcome either the finger or the hand, which is supposed to be a 3 to 4 week injury, and one of them would get back after one out of necessity for what they saw and for what they need.
What would have been fascinating is if Heaney hadn't missed a game and yet they didn't ping him for the incident itself. I mean, it wasn't even really talked about. But anyway, Sinclair's in as well into the team because Tom Hickey's out, so the impact of that. Logan McDonald has been omitted. So has Braden Campbell. So two of their young stars or potential stars.
He looked tired, Logan Campbell.
Yeah.
He looked the first signs of a young
Logan
body.
McDonald.
Logan McDonald.
Yeah. So
just on the
and Buddy's obviously out. McCartan is injured as well. So while they've got a good in, they've also got a good along with Franklin.
Can I ask, are you surprised that they brought Heaney back? Given like for like, I don't think they could have hoped for as much return out of Will Haywood, who was Heaney's replacement in the very position.
Yeah.
That's as good as I've seen Will Haywood play.
Well, you just got to think Heaney's okay to play.
Yeah, and they've lost Buddy. They've lost McCartan as well and Hickey. So they've copped a few there. So five changes at this stage for them with Heaney, Sinclair, Rowbottom, who they'll welcome back. He's a first-rate midfielder. Hayden McLean, who Derm loves, And Caden Brand, former Hawk, was also returned. Alex Sexton, one of the three omissions. In fact, Jared Harbrow, another omission from the Gold Coast Suns. Lemons and Ballard is back. Josh Kennedy, as you alluded to earlier, Jared, is the out for the Eagles, the only out at this stage. Cats have kept it pretty simple. Cameron and O'Connor coming back. Dangerfield, De Koning and Clark have been omitted. He's an interesting watch, Jordan Clark. Carlton and Brisbane, Liam Stocker gets his chance, as does David Cunningham. Once again, Paddy Dow has been omitted. Tom Williamson and Matthew Kennedy are out as well. So that's still a big talking point, isn't it, with the Blues?
Kennedy hasn't, with quite a few years in the system, hasn't had the career I thought he would. He was a fine 18, 19-year-old player.
Big body straight away, came in and, yeah, I think he had
ready to go. I thought he was exactly what Cripps need as the Robin to his Batman.
Are they right to keep dropping Dow?
It seems like there's a few whipping boys there, Jared, and they just keep going back to the same people. So they've never really made a statement at selection, I don't think, in the last 18 to 2 years.
Good discussion. I don't know if you want to do it now, Jared, around that. What do you do with those kids? Do you just you pick them early? You've just got to give them the chance to be on ball.
Yep.
Or do you make them earn it and say, when you do get your, 40% on ball game time, you've got to perform?
Yeah, I think as a young kid coming in and being, dropped and the side not performing well, all you want is continuity with your game. So that is in reserves or senior. So if he's in reserves for 1 or 2 weeks, it won't help him coming back into the seniors and then spending a couple of weeks in the seniors and then, unfortunately, if he doesn't perform...
He's got some weaponry, Dow. I think
they're at the stage now where you either play these kids full-time and with continuity or, unfortunately, they're just not a part of the future.
And the Berries are both out, one injured, one omitted for Brisbane. Jack Ross is the only omission for Richmond. As we said, May and Fritch is in, no Ben Brown. Or Wiedemann.
You can get involved across the weekend on AFL Nation on the Southern Phone open line. Get connected with Southern Phone. Amazing new mobile SIM deals from Southern Phones. We'll be back in Canberra in a few moments' time. Mark McVeigh is going to join us for the Giants, and then we'll broaden out our discussion from there. This is the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumonts, and for Hard Yakka, for a new breed of legends.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Bathroom packages? Choose Beaumonts. And Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends. You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Bathroom packages? Choose Beaumonts. And Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.
On AFL Nation, live from Manuka Oval, it's GWS.
The fumble here from Lever on the left. Toby Green, he's going to do it again.
Oh, yes.
He's kicked five.
Versus the Western Bulldogs.
Breaks the Sexton tackle. That wasn't good enough. Top of the square. English can't take the mark. Ground level Lipinski gives it to Hunter. Dribbles it home.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Bathroom packages? Choose Beaumonts. And Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.
Logs to begin round 6 in Canberra. We'll be there shortly with Mark McVeigh to check in on the Giants side of things. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson, Dermot Brereton and Jordan Lewis with you chatting various matters in footy. We're on Carlton and the dropping of Paddy Dow. What about a little more broadly? The manoeuvre that's been taken to bring John Worsfold in as a mentor to David Teague, and this splits into two camps. Have they given their senior coach the best opportunity to be as good as he can be, or have they signalled that they've lost a bit of faith in him and the training wheels are back on?
You look at Carlton, and to me, they're a club that always wants to spend as much as they are under the league guidelines as possible to get the best result as possible. It seems to me like they've actually found a little bit of room and they're going to give him all the support they can. I don't think they've lost any confidence in him because John's not a tactically great coach. He's a very good whole of life coach to his team. All these West Coast players will say in that yeah, I'll call it whole-of-life coaching. He's very, very good. Tactically, he wasn't through the roof. wasn't through the roof with his tactics at Essendon either. So I think he's more there as a lean on me type scenario rather than we've lost faith in Teague. So I think it's an appointment to benefit rather than say we need somebody to help in some shortfall areas.
Did the decision have to be made public, do you think, because he was going to be in at the club? Would it have been better if they'd been able to do it without making it public, do you think?
I think they felt it was a good news story and misread the way that it would land. If that's my honest
Is that your take on it, your feeling of it, that people have interpreted it as there was a shortfall in the incumbent coach's makeup and we're assisting that shortfall?
The public announcement of it and the way that I've dissected it over 24 hours, it's hurt David Teague. Now, it may very well help him as a coach. So it might just be a public misjudgment of how they thought it would be interpreted. But listening to Kane and just sort of taking it all in, that idea of that, and it all dates back to Chris Judd. And we don't want a coach with training wheels. And they hired an inexperienced coach. Mm. And so that there's that natural fallback, this is what training wheels looks like.
There is a frustration with Carlton supporters about David Teague's media, his positivity in the media conferences as well. I know that's I can certainly understand he doesn't want to be coming there talking doom and gloom. And it's a difficult challenge that all coaches go through when your side's not performing as you would like. Melbourne supporters had the same complaint often about Simon Goodwin. Always, we've lost our third in a row, but, this week we won the inside 50s and we did this and that. There's a frustration. We've all got a couple of mates I've got a couple of the Carlton supporters, and the message was, David Teague, I've just listened to his press conference, he mustn't have been at the same game I was at. This is not from a whinging Carlton supporters either. This is someone who's pretty, tries to be pretty positive about the club. So there is genuine frustration out there amongst the Carlton collective.
It is Carlton you're talking about, though.
What's your read, Jordan?
I think if any club, after what happened last year and the cuts that were made to football departments, any club, if they have the ability to bring in an experienced coach to support an inexperienced coach, I don't see that as a bad thing.
If they were 4-1, he would have been brought in?
Well, who knows how long ago the conversation started. So,
and they have had that relationship from their time in Perth, and they apparently were talking in lockdown last year. And it's
So they know what they're getting. They're not just getting a coach that nobody knows and had no experience with, and let's just get him in to try and make it a good news story or prop up our coaching. They know what he's like, and I think it's a little bit like what Derm said. He's not there to improve them tactically, but if he can improve the emotional stability or improve the motivation within the playing group and the coaches, and the coaches have someone to bounce off and they've got the money there to do it, why wouldn't you do it?
They're combustible, the Carlton community at the moment.
Yeah.
No, they are.
We who aren't Carlton look at them and think, they're going through a bad run, but they're Carlton. They're an enormously successful club. It's been a long time.
20 years of rubbish, Sellers says.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time. So I can understand. When you actually look at it numerically, there's bound to be some frustration.
And it's great that their off-field is now, they've got 80,000 members and they're into the positive again financially. That is great, but it also kind of adds to the frustration as well of the supporters. They go, off-field you go, but you still can't get it right on-field.
the main ingredient. But I'm a little bit like you, and touching on what Jared said, it's they thought it was a good news story. It would have been fine if it wasn't announced or made to be a big thing, him coming into the club. It would have been received, I think, a little bit easier.
Jordan Lewis and Dermot Brereton for Car Sales. Unique insights and exclusive perks with Car Sales for owners. Let's head back to Canberra. Our Mark McVeigh is joining us inside the Giants camp after a meritorious couple of weeks. Mark, welcome to AFL Nation.
Hi, Jared. How are you?
Very well. What have you been able to manoeuvre in the past couple of weeks after the start that we saw?
Yeah, I think there's been a bit of an attitude shift, first and foremost. We sort of rolled into the season, I think, and probably some of the stuff that we've been known for in terms of our contested footy, our pressure and also our ball movement probably wasn't reflecting on match day as we tried to acknowledge over the pre-season. So that took a few weeks to get going. And then obviously with some injuries, we were able to bring in some youth which has gave the group a lot of energy. But also we've had some of our really good players start to find some form, and that goes, you know, where it's Jacob Hopper, Tim Taranto and Callum Ward through the midfield, and Tom Green's emergence has really started to gel together in the midfield. They haven't been together too long in regards to those four or five. So, yeah, I think there's a few things there that we acknowledge we could have been better at, and we've been able to turn around the last couple of weeks.
And from the coach's box, it really does seem like there's been some canny stuff as well in the way the setup has been and the way the ball movement has returned. Is that how it feels internally?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's been a real strong... Well, over the pre-season, we really work hard in our ball movement. It was front of mind in discussions when we came back after the hub. And certainly grabbing some different ideas from different people. Stevie J's come across and brought some terrific ideas in regards to ball movement as well, which has been really important. And then obviously, Leon has been embraced all those things around what coaches might want to do, what they've seen in the past has worked and what we need to do to get better. So as a collective, I think we've worked really well together. We're a young coaching group, but, plenty of experience still there with probably myself and Amon Buchanan being there around 7 or 8 years, and then Stevie coaching for some time now. It's been good.
Spike, the area that you controlled in terms of the midfield, there's probably a couple of things that I'd love to touch on. Nick Haynes spending more time up on the wing. It looks like he's been freed up a little bit and being able to help you connect from defence to forward. And another one that's sort of got a second lease on life in Callum Ward, being able to go back from a wing to an inside midfield position and really relishing that opportunity to lead the midfield.
Yeah, you're right. We did flag Nick Haynes to play on the wing throughout the pre-season. We experimented in intra-club games with him because he's got a great ability to run and cover the ground. We know about how good he is down back and reading the ball. We've thrown him forward in past years, which, not everyone that follows the Giants or doesn't follow the Giants would know, but when we've thrown him forward over sort of the last 4 or 5 years, he has marked the ball for us. So we thought, how best can we utilise him? We've got Jack Buckley going really well down back. Sammy Taylor's going really well down back. So we've been able to cover his position to a degree. Not that you can cover him, but he's an All-Australian backman. But we just felt that he gives us another different look on the wing. So he's been really good for us there. Really impressed by that. And also, obviously Wardy was always going to get back into that midfield. He worked really hard in the pre-season, trained a lot inside, didn't play much on the wing, and probably lacked, if you ask him, the confidence to go back in there just after, obviously, a knee injury and some not great form last year. But to see his confidence grow in the last few weeks has been great, and he's been really important for us.
Spike, the other change up at Fields in the midfield, a couple of the kids coming in, but Brett Daniels also going up onto the wing, and then some of the centre bounces. He's just changed the mix a bit of what you've got there.
Yeah, it's a really good point, mate. We probably know at times we're a little one-paced in there, That's something that we acknowledge. So we love throwing little Daniels in there to get us going. He really gets on that outnumber ball or that loose ball. He's a good pressure player. We're not immune to putting little Bobby Hill in there at times as well with his feet. So we're certainly throwing that around and spoken about that. Wouldn't want him to get hit, but hopefully he can get on a loose ball. But we certainly know that we need to support our inside balls. They are very, very good contested group. We understand that, but at times we can get a little exposed on the outside, and it's been really good to support them with some quick feet on the outside.
Spike Durham here. How are you, mate?
Hey, Durham. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. The opening few weeks you had Harry Himmelberg, Toby as your target players, and you might have had a midfielder who's floating down there as your third target. The rest were smalls, whether they push up into the midfield or not. Then you came out 2 weeks ago and decided, let's get a couple more big guys. And then you went pretty tall and you ended up at occasion, if you call Toby a pseudo key forward, you ended up with 4 target forwards. So it was a complete about face. I know the one that works for you the best is the game you win. Which works best for the Giants, though?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And we feel like we have this discussion and argument week to week. And we're not really settled. And you know what it's like. You probably weigh up what the opposition can throw at you from a defensive point of view. What's our pressure going to be like forward of the footy? Do we need a lot of heat on that footy, or do we think we can expose them with our leads and in the air? And that's a week-to-week proposition, and it's a luxury for us to have at the moment. We've got Hogan going pretty well at the level down, which we're really pleased with how he's going and tracking. So he's been in discussion. Obviously, you know, we've got Toby going really well. Harry's been outstanding, and Finn Layson as well. So there's a lot of options for us there at the moment. The right mix is a week-to-week thing for us, and I think we've always sort of spoken about, and it's, you know, and Stevie's the forwards coach, so I don't want to speak for him, but I know he likes that sort of two forwards with Toby there, the taller ones with the smaller around. But
do you feel interject there? Do you feel if you have Himmelberg, Riccardi, Finn Layson, three blokes who are 6'5" or more, 6'4.5" or more, do you feel like then they're obligated to go fourth best backman on Toby, or is he just going to get the number one anyway?
No, we feel like he'll get the number one majority of the time, which is fine for us. We feel like that'll happen. But, you know, to your other point as well, we also got to be wary of what type of players we're bringing in. So Riccardi, as you may know, is a bit of a leader where he leads up and then gets out the back. And sometimes it doesn't suit the opposition that we're playing. Hogan's got probably the best leading patterns in the forward line. So if you look at Jesse Hogan, his end pointing off his opposition is outstanding. So he gets that split. He's more of your short lead-up type player, so you have to lower your eyes. Riccardi will get out the back on you. You need to kick the ball longer. So it's where our mix is right, and we haven't seen Hogan in that mix as yet. So we still don't really know what our best mix is, knowing that he's, you know, played a lot of footy as well. So it's a work in progress, Dan, and we totally, you know, it's not something that we just roll out every week. We discuss it at length every week, and everyone's got their opinions. But in the end, it falls to sort of lean on the forwards coach. But I don't think we know what our best mix is right now yet.
The best mix is the one you have 4 points next to. But can I ask you, you mentioned a name there before, and if we look purely on numerical figures in terms of statistics, Bobby Hill's getting dropped every second week. You have to have him on numerical, on the numbers. You have to have him in there. You've got to find a way to get the ball to him half a dozen times more in a game, because every time he touches it, something happens that the opposition literally go, we can't deal with this bloke's speed, and they immediately either withdraw and corral, or they go into a panic mode and separate to chase men no matter where they are. He is electric, and he can be your match winner, and he's averaging, 9 possessions a game. You've got to find a way to get him half a dozen more.
Well, I think we've got to a point now where we sort of get amongst the coaches and say, let's not concentrate on what he's not doing well. And let's really get to him about his one wood and what he does well, and let's keep pumping them up and keep him in the team, because we feel like he's a game away from breaking it right open at times. I mean, if you look at last week, his first quarter was unbelievable. Yeah. He probably missed 3 shots on goal. They couldn't handle his speed. He kicked the ball too early at times, and we just said, mate, you just got to take that ball. If you break that first line, just go.
Hutto's hoping he keeps it and takes half a dozen bounces. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we want that too, because if you break that first line, no one's going to catch him. So he's just that. He's one of the quickest blokes I've ever seen on the field. But he just, sometimes he gets through that first line and we're all going, here we go. And then he pulls the trigger on a kick and, you know, it might be a 50-50 lead. So we certainly know, you know, we feel like you guys, you know, we want him to take on the game a bit more. And, you know, that comes with confidence and experience and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. We want to keep him in the side. We want to concentrate on his positive and keep working with, you know, his deficiencies, which, you know, he consistently needs to be a pressure player. We know that. The good small forwards in the comp do that. So, but look, he's come a long way, and we're very happy with him at the moment and the trajectory he's on.
He's great to watch.
Good luck for the night, Mark. Yeah. Great to have you as part of it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Good on you.
Mark McVeigh, Giants assistant coach. Join the Ream AFL Tipping League at tipping.sen.com.au and win big weekly and grand prizes.
I think Lachie Whitfield will play next week too, either in the twos or in the ones, so he's not far away.
And would you bring Hogan in off last night's performance?
Probably depends how they go tonight a bit. He's getting there, I reckon, from what we saw last night. And the change in the way the game's playing should help. Some of his body work, like he's so wide that he can just, if he get his timing right, he could be dangerous.
Yeah, he's the best. He was the best one-on-one forward when I was at Melbourne.
How does he fall off the perch then? Because there's times when you see him and I think that's non-competitive.
Yeah, I think he just sometimes drifts in and out of the game from a mental application.
Yeah.
Right. This is the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont, stand for hard yakka for a new breed of legends. Anthony Hudson, Dermot Bruton, Jordan Lewis with you, pinging some topics around the table. AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best, and for hard yakka for a new breed of legends.
There's always one.
Sorry about that.
Just new to this too, Dermot.
Dermot, how are you reading Nathan Buckley at the moment? His demeanour, his messaging, his determination?
Oh, funny enough, I've played with some of the world of AFL football greats. And people ask me, who's the most competitive person you've ever played with? He trumps all of them. He trumps Dunstall, Lee Matthews, Mew, Lang, all of those greats that I've played with. He's the most competitive man I've ever met. So whatever happens, you know he's having a go because self-interest is a very good motivator. What am I reading in him, from the external? I'm reading a fella who's not quite saying the way he thinks it really is at the moment. He's not giving his true depiction on the world of Collingwood and the way they sit in the footballing world. Yeah.
And is that closer to rebuild than contending? Is that...
Would
he be desperate to say...
I don't think Collingwood's list... I mean, so many people want to throw darts at Collingwood and their list, you know, they're a great club to attack, you know, for the other 17 because they're such a big club. They're a brilliant club. Having played just one solitary season with them when they weren't at their best, they are a fantastic club. He's not going to be challenging with that list anytime soon unless some things go, horribly right. But I don't think they need to bottom out. I don't think they need to go total rebuild. There's enough there on a basis. So there's half a dozen kids that they have faith in that we've seen glimpses of for a game or two. You know, you've got a few first gamers. Ned's boy as well. We don't know how good they're going to be at the level. So there's kids there that they're waiting to bring in.
And they'll get the nominal best junior next year. Nick Dacos is...
Well, they reckon that as well. So, and we've seen how good his older brothers become in a short period of time. I don't think they need to bottom out, as some people say, now the rebuild has to be on. You don't ever have to do anything. Some teams like to do it. Some say no. Geelong don't do it. I don't think this list Collingwood has to do it. But Nathan's pretty circumspect, and he does it in a way where he tries to portray it with a bit of humour and there's a touch of smugness in there. But knowing Nathan, I know he really wants to give what his true thoughts are, but he holds back on that. When he goes at some of the media and some of those responses, he's not all that comfortable with some of the dialogue that's around Collingwood at the moment.
Would you have him as coach next year if it was 100% your choice?
Oh, it's round five. Yeah. There's so much water to pass. Okay, so you're saying if I'm on the board of Collingwood and that question comes to me and my department's football, I say, well, why do you need to make a choice now? I mean, everybody's auditioning. Each weekend we're auditioning. Gee, at least let's get through to two-thirds of the season before we start to form an opinion in the direction of an opinion.
The all-new 8-seed Hyundai Palisade is the SUV for a rapidly growing family. It's got advanced tech and loads of space, so there'll be no outgrowing this SUV. Go on, take a test drive at your local Hyundai dealer today. We'll turn our attention to the Giants and the Bulldogs. The events of Round 6 coming up for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's and Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.